Good morning, Abosai, and thank you for joining our Sunday morning Evan HaEzer Shir. Be'ezus Hashem, we are beginning or getting into the sugya of Pitzua Dacha and Kruz Shafcha, which again is a sugya you're probably not going to learn in too many places. We learned last week the halachos of who a Pitzua Dacha is allowed to marry as far as they're not being in the kahal. Today we're going to try to define what is a Pitzua Dacha, what is a Kruz Shafcha. Again, these are injuries to the male organs, and they render a person unable to marry a regular woman. And obviously, these are isurim d'oraisa that only apply physically apply to a man. So the questions will only be: never could she marry a mamzeret? So only be: can he marry a mamzer? That'll be a question. That's what we talked about last week. But somebody who has these issues, anatomical problems, will not be able to marry a regular Jewish woman. So let's see what the definition of these injuries or illnesses are. And again, we'll have to keep in mind, I don't know if we'll get to the conclusion today about what will be the status of somebody who had to undergo a testicular cancer operation. That we'll get to maybe next week, but we're going to start building to figure out what is the Isser involved in these two Isurim d'oraisa. Amar Rava. Look at the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Hamed Beis. Pitzua, when we say that there's something called Pitzua Daka, Pitzua is an injury to the, let's assume the testicles, that's Bekulan. That injury would apply to all three parts of the male anatomy, which the Gemara will indicate in a moment. Similarly, Dach, when we talk about crushed, which typically might be assumed to testicles, also that problem of being crushed applies to all three aspects of the male's anatomy, which we'll see in a minute. Chorus, when we talk about being cut off, that there is a something was chopped off, you know, a bris that, you know, slipped and cut a lot more than he was supposed to, potentially, chas v'shalom, that also will apply bekulan with all three parts of the male anatomy, which we will now specify. Petzua bekulan, bein sheniftza hagid, whether the actual length of the organ was injured, bein shenifzu beitzim, bayim, the testicles were injured, bein shenifzu chute beitzim. What are the chute beitzim? The chute beitzim, I should have called the urologist before today's shiur. The chute beitzim apparently are some kind of tube that bring the, I mean, I could probably have looked up some diagrams also. I believe the chute beitzim, as we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, we'll mention, you could look at how the Shulchan Aruch explains these words of the Gemara. Chute Beitzim, I'm just jumping ahead to the Shulchan Aruch, look what I highlighted on the screen, are the Shvilim, they're the paths, the tubes, Shebahem Mispashel Shichvas Zera, that the Zera cooks in it, meaning ripens, meaning gets ready to be effective. So I don't know how that's going to translate. I assume that's a tube that takes the zera from the testicles. I don't know if that's the urethra, if that the Jarrett is not just a neurologist, but also knows his urology. He could help me. I don't know if it's the urethra or it's one of the tubes that take the zera from the testicles up and out. Those are the chutei beitzim. So the Gemara tells us, Rava tells us, that if there's an injury to any one of those three, pitsua meaning like an injury, a petza, if there's an injury to any one of these three organs, that's the gid, the actual length of the aver, or the testicles, or these tubes, that would all, any one of those would render a person a pitsua. What's daka? Daka is somebody who's crushed. And says the Gemara, says Rava, that crushing concern, God forbid a person is some kind of mechanical accident, and there's that area of the body is crushed, even, we'll see a shiloh that actually occurred relating to this, dach b'chulon, bein shenidach hagid, whether the actual, I actually had a friend who told me that he was working in the ER, he was an ER doctor, and his father was a urologist, I think. Was his father a urologist? And a case came into the ER with somebody who had exactly this, a nidach gid, and he was an ER doctor, he never saw this before, I had no idea what to do. He quickly picked up the phone and called his father in a different, I don't even know if they're both living in New York. The father lives in Brooklyn, I know. He's a well-known urologist or something like that in New York. And his son was an ER doctor somewhere else. And when this unusual case came in of somebody who had his aver was crushed because of whatever had happened, this ER doctor quickly, you know, he didn't know where to look it up. He called his father, who's a senior doctor, you know, obviously 30 years older than him, to see what to do. Obviously, it's, again, not a common case. This, we're going to see a shayla about this, that the testicles themselves were crushed. Again, that pathway, that tube, whether it's the urethra one or some other tube that carries the zera, was crushed. All those three parts of the human, the male anatomy that would be crushed will be subject to this tzua daka. And finally, the same paradigm will apply to the isra d'oraisa of krus shafcha, krus meaning cut off. If any of those three organs or parts of the organs are cut off, again, God forbid a machinery accident where there was a blade involved, there's something not just crushed but something cut off, God forbid, with a blade. Beit shnichas hagid, whether the man's aver, the length of his aver was, you know, cut. Beit shnichas u beitzim, whether the testicles were cut off. Beit shnichas u chute beitzim, whether this path, this tube that carries the zera from the testicles out to the delivery point, whether that tube was cut. Now, I'm not sure where a vasectomy, where when they tie somebody's tubes, I'm not sure where exactly they tie. Dr. Jared, are you here? Or does anyone knows exactly where the tubes are tied, where they do tie the tubes, or that the fallopian tubes are?
The vas deferens.
Vas deferens.
Between the testicles and the urethra.
That's where they do it. Okay, yeah, so I would
assume. It's called a vasectomy.
So I would assume, I'm not sure, but it stands to reason that a vasectomy, do they cut it or they just tie it?
They cut it and then they tie it.
Okay, so I assume the cutting would be exactly this.
Right, it starts in the basement, it goes all the way up into the abdomen, and then comes back down and then exits through the aper.
Okay. So I would assume that cutting would be, again, we're not talking about serous, which was about neutering, and serous, which would be an issue that we'll talk about later in this very simon. But I assume such a person who has that, that sounds like krus shafcha. That again, even though the aver itself wasn't cut off, but the tube that carries the zera to where it has to go out is cut, and that would make the person a krus shafcha. And according to what I'm reading right now and you're describing to me, it sounds like such a person who had such a procedure would not be able to marry a Jewish girl, a regular Jewish girl, which is probably somewhat frightening, because I'm sure there are many such individuals in our, not necessarily in the super Orthodox community, but certainly in the Jewish community, that is the case for people who made whatever life decisions they made. So that was the Gemara in Yevamos, and based on that, we're now going to see the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Hay Sif Beis, which will echo all the points that we just learned, and we'll add a little knesh that we haven't seen in the Gemara. But this is the Shulchan Aruch, so now we know the Gemara back on the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch will be quick. Eizu Ptsua Daka. What is the definition of a Ptsua Daka? This Issa Daraisu can't, this person is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. Kol sheniftzu, anyone who's injured, habeitzim shalo, his bayim, his testicles, ochos shafcha. This is a simple meaning, and we're of course going to add the details that we added in just a moment. Ochos shafcha, what's ochos shafcha? The second isidarais that we're speaking of. Kol shenichras hagid shalo. If the aver was, you know, cut off, cut in half. And now the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch adds those additional concerns that the Gemara told us, that these isurim apply to all three aspects of the male anatomy. Uvishlosha evarim eshashi pasla hazafa. A male can be nifsal lekahal with three parts of his body: the gid, number one, the actual aver itself, the penis; uvibeitzim, the testicles; and thirdly, in that tube, I'm assuming it's the vas deferens, maybe uvishvilim shabahem ispashal shichvas zera. In the tube through which the zera finishes off, cooking. V'hemanikrim chute beitz, and that's what the chute beitz and that the Gemara referred to. Do you need all three? Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. An injury to any one of those parts of the body, v'kemen shnichtza echad mishlosha evarim elo. O nichras, or any of these three are cut or sliced. O nidach, or any of these threes are nidach. What does the word dach mean? Perish nismaich, crushed. Minyam pitzua daka, that's what the word means. If any of those three parts of the male anatomy are crushed, hareze pasol. And just to finish, exactly where on the body these issues can occur, the Shulchan Aruch concludes, Ketzad, how so? Nifza hagid, there's an injury, onidach, or is crushed, on shenichrisa ha'atara, olamalame ha'atara, or there's cut off either the corona, the top edge, the tip, the outermost tip of the Eber was cut off, olamalame ha'atara, I think that means closer to the body, is pasul. Vimnichas mirosh ha'atara, however, we're going to have a kula now. If there was an injury, again, let's say the mohel, he had a, I don't know, for some reason he was using a really big blade, and his hands were really shaky, and he, God forbid, he cut a big slice where he wasn't supposed to slice. But it was on the far side, away from the body, above what we call the corona, and the far tip further away from the body. Vim nichras meirosh ha'atara, the edge, the far part. Vinishtayim imen afil kechut ha'saira mukav v'chol ha'gid. And there's still the atara, that corona that is towards the end of the far part of the aver, that still, at some of it, is still intact, so it's the far part that was cut off, kosher. That will not render the baby a kushafcha. It's only if the cut was closer to the body.
Now, is this a pair of beitzim or a pair of shvilim, or just one?
Excellent question. We will... There's a Rabbeinu Tam who discusses your question, and we're going to get to him in a few se'ifim, so I don't want to spoil it. I'll let you be in suspense. Are we talking about that both were crushed, both testicles were crushed, or both tubes were cut, or only one? Doesn't matter. If it's one, is it right, left, or either? We're going to see a little bit later. Rabbeinu Tam is going to be bothered by your question, and we'll see how it's paskened in the Shulchan Aruch. And that will be a very important... What?
Okay. Why do they use the term nisfashel? Because it's not really technically correct.
I agree. I assume that 500 years ago they did not know exactly what we know, and they did the best they could.
Okay.
But I agree. It's not nisfashel. It's just carried there. But I think the word nisfashel is a great word, because I do know that in the production of zera, heat... or too much heat is a very significant concern in the production of zera. So the word nispash is just an interesting word to use. Anyway, but nispash just means it ripened, it got ready to be delivered.
The whole reason that this anatomy is external and not internal like in the female, so it should not be nispashel.
Right, yes. That's what I was referring to. But nispash doesn't necessarily mean boil, it also means to ripen. It means get ready, it means it's
Warming up,
but not in the sense of heat warming up. Warming up meaning getting ready to do what it needs to do. Yeah.
Maturing,
that's an even better word. Thank you. Okay, but again, not...
It doesn't mature there. That's a bad
thing. Right, it doesn't. I realize that. But okay. They did the best... They did a remarkably good job given, the... I think that's a lesson of might be a lesson of a Rambam, maybe. So 1,000 years ago, it's not bad. Zak the Beis Shmuel, the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Petsua, what is Petsua? When we said that if any of the three parts of the human anatomy are Petsua, or injured, Hainu, Ayde Makas Cherev Osakin. He's very, very telling us what the word means, very bluntly, no pun intended. It's with a blade. That's what Petsua means. If there's an injury with a blade, something is sliced, that's Petsua. Daka shenidach. It was crushed. Aide shum davar. Whatever crushed it, and we'll see what happens if it was crushed because somebody possibly squeezed it, would that also be considered crushed? Ukvikarus and cut off. Haina shenichras l'shnayim aide shum davar. It was literally cut into two. God forbid. Now, we're going to see something absolutely incredible. Is there a common denominator between all these? We just, if you think about, we have three things that could happen to a person. Petsua, and Dach, and Koros. Petsua, an injury, with a knife injury, a slicing injury, or a crushing, or a cut in half. And we said those three injuries could occur to three parts of the body. So we have a total of nine possibilities, nine separate injuries that a person could undergo, could endure, that would each one separately render the person a petsua daka or a kros shavcha and asul akal. Is there any common denominator between these? Or are they just three, all the possible definitions of what is the iser? So comes the Beis Shmuel and tells us something that I think puts everything that we learned in the past 10 minutes together. And he says that all these three share one common denominator. And this is the common denominator and the reason, maybe the time of the Krah, the reason for the mitzvah of, for the Isra of Petsua Daka and Kris Shafka is this line. Says the Beis Shmuel, Ube'echas mikol elu, anybody who had any of these nine possible injuries, Bechezka she'eno molidhu, he can't have children. So maybe that's the vort. The point of these, the point of the reason why the Torah says you can't marry a man with a crushed testicles, can't marry, is because the Torah wants, doesn't want somebody who is unable to bear children to marry a regular girl, I guess. And look at the corollary. Look at the following line. What happens if a man, such a man, gets married and has children? Well, guess what? Proof is in the pudding that he wasn't a kris shavcha or a petsua daka. Ve'im nasa isha v'holid banim, b'yodua she'ein... Oh, it's even worse. I'm sorry. No. If you have somebody who had this injury and he has children, you know that they are not his children, that the kids are mamzerim. Wow. You hear what the Beis Shmuel is doing? He's taking his suggestions so much, so far, and he's taking it to the bank. He's saying the point of these nine injuries is that you can't have children. If you have children, they must not be your children. Could you imagine this? Again, if you have somebody, we don't know if he's a kris shavcha, if he's a petsua daka, okay. But if somebody is determined to be halachically a kris shavcha or a petsua daka, and he has the injury and it's clinically diagnosed, the doctor says, it was checked by the rabbi and the doctor, and it's clinically diagnosed to have one of these nine injuries, and he has a kid, well, you know that his wife was with somebody else, that they're mamzerim. Vade mamzerim. Incredible.
So does that also teach us that if he does it to be able to have children, he's allowed to?
That's a great shaila. Let's say somebody does one of these procedures somehow to... I'll give you what might be an example. Halacha l'maisa.
I know of a case.
Okay. The one...
Help him.
Okay, very good. So let's say the case that I'm thinking of, maybe there's another case, is sometimes I mention this, to extract the zera, they have to do aspiration from the testicles. They take a needle, they stick it into the testicle, and they suck out through a syringe or something, they suck out the zera, and then they use that zera, and then they could access that zera. So theoretically, what is that? If, again, I'm not an expert in this, but that sounds like what I'm highlighting right now. That sounds like a patsua. It's an injury with a sharp object to the beitzim. So according to this definition of the Gemara and of the Shulchan Aruch which paskens this Gemara, it sounds like this person is a patsua daka. But yet they're only doing it to take out the zera from the person to make it usable. To get the Zera, to access the Zera, to check the Zera.
Now, we gave criteria for cut for lacerations on the kid. What about criteria for lacerations on the base? You know, if you cut off 1 millimeter and stick a needle in, it isn't going to matter a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know,
so, yeah. They don't give the criteria. Again, for the Vaz, I mean, I'm sure the small injury would probably cause scarring and close things off.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll see as things go. I think we'll see something similar to your question. We'll see what happens if there's a partial crushing, not a full crushing. You're asking what about a partial laceration, but not a full laceration. We'll have to, I don't know. We'll see what we'll see. I don't remember what we're going to get to in the next few weeks. We'll have to keep our eyes open. One more thing. Let's talk about, again, a vasectomy. Doctor, could you could untie it. You could heal, you could repair a vasectomy?
Doctor?
Sometimes. Okay. Let's look at something interesting and figure out how to deal with that. Well, the Das says of Ishmael, Das Kama Poskim, Ein Refuah Likrus Shafcha. By definition, Krus Shafcha, the psil of Krus Shafcha, who's not allowed to marry, doesn't have a refuah. Oh. So wait a second. I said that a vasectomy should be considered cutting the tube. That's one of the injuries that we spoke of, cutting the tube, slicing the tube in half. That would make a person a Krus Shafcha. But here we're saying that, at least according to these poskim, there's no refuah. So if there is a refuah, if you could retie them or reattach them, then maybe this isn't considered. Maybe that person could marry. Maybe they're not considered the Krus Shafcha that the Torah prohibited Lava Bekal, because the Torah only prohibited Lava Bekal, the Azah Krus Shafcha, who can't have it repaired. But if it is refuahable, if it is refuahable, if it is repairable, maybe such a person wouldn't be also Lava Bekal. Concludes the Beis Shmuel, Mikama Komnira, Imholid, let's say such a person, we know he had an injury and he has a child. You remember we said a minute ago that that the kids must be Mavzerim? Well, wait a second. Why don't we just say that maybe he was healed from that injury? Says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Beis Shmuel, if such a person who had such an injury had children, we'd more quickly assume that they're Mavzerim than assume that he was healed. Mikama Komnira, Imholid, Lo Tindalina Nshenisrape, Elim Ken Biodua Shinstrape. Unless you knew that he was Nisrape, you can't just assume. You know, you found out that this family had kids, we'd quicker assume that they're Mamzerim kids than assume that he had a refuah, which is a very rare type of thing, unless we know that he had a refuah. If we know that he had a procedure and he had some kind of refuah, or the issue went away or was healed, then we wouldn't assume that unless we knew otherwise. Okay. So based on what we said, talking about the fact that somebody who has such an injury and has kids, they must be mamzerim, and you can't really get a refuah normally for these injuries. Let's learn a shaila from the Noda B'Yehuda, and the Noda B'Yehuda, you should just know, got some wild shailas, really wild shailas. This isn't super wild, but you'll see how fascinating this shaila that was brought to the Noda B'Yehuda's desk was. Let me tell you the shaila outside. There's a guy who's married. Happens to be that he's wealthy, that's not really important, except for the fact there's a lot of money involved. A very rich guy, and didn't have any children. What makes life worse, and you'll see why it's going to be an issue, is because his wife was a very sociable lady, if you understand what I mean. She wasn't the most loyal wife. She got around, she was a, she had a reputation in town. Okay. Now, let's see this inside, because it's a complicated case. You'll see what happens. Let's see it inside. There are too many components to the shaila that all come together to create one incredible shaila. Ayin Sham, look at the Nadi Behuda. This is a piece of the Nadi Behuda that's quoted by the Pischei Tshuva. So we're learning the Pischei Tshuva. We're not learning the Nadi Behuda inside. It's the Pischei Tshuva, which is the commentary in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, who quotes many of the Sifrei Hashut. Shenishal, the Noda B'Yehuda is asked, oh, this isha chad muflag bashir, it's a fabulously wealthy fellow, shahayim ishto kamashanim, lo zach libanas mimena, and he was not zocha, they were not zocha to have children. However, important to remember that she wasn't such a good girl. V'hi lo nahaga kibbidos Yisrael haksheres. She's not the most sneistic, edel kanedel Beis Yaakov girl. V'daima, that means she was hanging out with Mi ben paretz echad Yisrael, a certain a certain Jewish kid of ill repute. Okay, now they're wealthy. She's not the most sinistic girl. Let's now get into the medical issues. Veshuv siper harofe Yisrael lefnei harav. The doctor, this man's doctor, had a conversation with the rabbi, telling him the following. Sifer HaRofa Yisrael, Lefnei HaRav, I guess they didn't have HIPAA.
Kibal... I don't understand what the crosstalk going on.
It's
Kibal ha'isha yesh lo nekev begid shelo v'lo yuchal laholid. The rabbi, I'm sorry, the doctor told the rabbi, you should know, this husband has a nekev in his gid, he has a hole somewhere along his aver, and he's unable to bear children. I guess that's one of the types of injuries that that would render a person a klishafka. But lo and behold, guess what? The end of, before this fellow died, his wife gives birth. Uvisof yamav, halida ishta zachar. Vishuvnis abra, and she became pregnant again. And then, uvisochi meibura chala ha'isha hu, vitziva lefne mosa, she becomes pregnant the second time. And while she was pregnant with her second child, with presumably his second child, he left at Tzava. He wrote at Tzava, and this is what he said. He says he had a fabulously wealthy, he had fabulous wealth, and he made a Tzava, he left in his will, v'horish hakol livno, to his son, who was born to him. And if he has a boy in the if his wife is pregnant with a boy, v'she'im teled ishto zach, yakach v'chach, v'mnekeva teled, yakach v'chach, and he wrote whatever he said, if there'll be, you know, right now I have a boy, he gets all my wealth. If my wife has a successful delivery, and I have another child, so we'll split up, whether it's a boy or girl, as follows. And you know who took care of this will? The rabbi himself. V'atzava nichtava ayedei harav hanal. Now, he has privileged information. You remember the doctor told him that this guy is kushafcha and shouldn't be able to be molded? V'atzava nichtava ayedei harav hanal be'atzmo. Okay, anyway, the guy dies. Listen to this. It gets more exciting. When the Chevra Kadisha were dealing with his body, hakabarnim, I never saw that word, but it means the people who do the kvura. I don't know why it doesn't say Chevra Kadisha. Matzu shenikav hagid, that there was a hole, he had a hole in his aver, bein atar lekis, between the corona and the scrotum, which is presumably on the length of the shaft, which should be problematic. The nekev hashesen, and the hole where he would urinate from, hayasasim, was sealed closed. We're not, again, that's parts of the Shulchan Aruch which we're not going to really go into. But ofen, it must be that that's how, where he urinated from. Because the regular, the hole that's usually at the tip where the urine would come out from, that was sealed up, and therefore the urine must have come out from this hole that they found on the side of the shaft. Okay, so it should be that it shouldn't really be possible that he should be able to have children. So we have a doctor's report, and we have a report from the Chevra Kadisha that both seem to indicate he shouldn't be able to have children. But his wife had two kids. And not only did she have two kids, but he was wrote in a Yerusha that he wants to give in his Tzava all to these two kids. So he's convinced that they're his own kids, right? You don't give Yerushas to your mom Zayin, right? If your wife cheats on you and has a kid, you're not giving that kid that your wife cheated on you, you know, all your money. And now this poor rabbi has to figure out what to do with two Shilas. Are the kids mom Zayin? That's the first Shila. Are the kids mom Zayin? Because if this man can't father them, that means they're obviously from some other man, not the husband's. And therefore, she's a married woman, from some kids from some other man, they're kids of Mamzerim, or not. And secondly, Vim Yed Lenachla. And if we assume they are his kids, the children of the man who has the injury, could they Yarshin the father? That's the Shaila. What a geshmaka Shaila. I'm glad these Shailas don't come to my desk. What a geshmak of Shaila of Noda Behuda was asked. Incredible Shaila. Now let's go through a number of the points that he makes, that Noda Behuda makes, and he takes one point at a time. Let's start with the doctor. First of all, he violated HIPAA, but okay, they didn't have HIPAA rules. Could you rely on the edus of the doctor? Well, let's think. How many doctors were there? There was one doctor. So that means the doctor's an Eidachad. Look what he says over here. You can't have an Eid Echad operate independently to make something Aser. An Eid Echad can't say something about me or about you and make you or me Aser. He can say something about himself. If you have an Eid Echad together with a Hodaz Baldin or a shtika, kahoda, maybe an erachad could, you know, drive something to happen with it, if it's a shtika or a does baldin. But for an erachad to say that you're usher, or that something's usher to you, they don't have that power. Vimkein, and if so, in the case that we're dealing with, kisha omer harofil harav b'chai ha'ish, what should the rabbi have done? If the doctor told the rabbi, you know, rabbi, this patient of mine is a kush shafcha, he has a hole in his shaft that he shouldn't be able to have children, the rabbi should have investigated. Hayomuto laharav levare. The problem is, the guy's dead now. The guy's dead. And what did you have? You had that edus edachot of the doctor. You can't rely on that. Furthermore, in our case, says another Yehuda, where the father, or the alleged father, the possible father, wanted to be morish to these kids and raise these kids as his own, or at least the first kid as his own, that means the father is saying that, if the father is saying, this is my child, I will pay his tuition, I want to be morish for my wealth to him, that means the father is holding himself as somebody who can bear children. So that means the father himself is being machish, is denying, is going against that eidachat. And furthermore, we know, we learned from the words in the Torah, Ben HaBechor Yakir, that the father has the zechus to identify who his children are. HaTorah HaMinasa La'av Lomar Zebani. And therefore, an eidachat has no power against that nemanis that the Torah grants the father to identify who his children are. Okay, so we took care of the... I don't know if Mesiach Lefitumo has the ability to answer somebody, especially when they deny it. Yeah, I understand, but there are parameters to Mesiach Lefitumo, and even if it is Mesiach Lefitumo, first of all, I don't know if it's the Mesiach Lefitumo, because the doctor is telling the rabbi in order to answer him.
I don't know.
I wasn't there. You're saying that if he's Mesiach Lefitumo, he just says, wow, I just had the most incredible, patient, fascinating case. Rabbi, I want to tell you about it. But again, Mesiach Lefitumo doesn't have unlimited ne'amanus. I guess another Yehuda is assuming that wouldn't work. Okay, yes. Next. What about the Chevra Kadisha?
My little research, this is called hypostadius, where there is a whole long shaft instead of at the tip.
Right.
And it could be associated with other testicular abnormalities, which of course can affect reproductive ability. But depending on the location, the person could still actually father children.
Right. So here he specified that the location was between the atar and the kids. That means it's on the shaft all the way below the corona, between the corona and the body.
It has to be below the corona. By definition, it's...
Oh, that's what hypospadia means. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, if it's all the way near the kiss, obviously then, you know, if you think of the logistics, the zera won't get in the right place. Whereas if it's closer to the corona,
uh-huh,
you could envision something leaking into the and getting to the...
Got
to
it. The, I hear that.
Right.
I hear.
So the little bit I saw was that it could impair fertility. It doesn't necessarily make it impossible. So I don't know whether, location matters. You know, it's location, location, location.
Right.
And also, what did they know then compared to what we know now?
Right.
We tend to correct these surgically just because why not make it right?
Right.
For various reasons.
Nowadays, they do that surgery quite often with children, and then that's where there's a lot of discussion in terms of what to do the bris, or wait a few, you know, sometimes you have a bris when a kid is 3 years old because they want to do a hypospadia surgery.
It's apparently very common.
Yes.
Not my field, but just my quick research.
Yeah, that is something that's not so rare, yes. Okay, so again, I'm not able to, you know, at least they were assuming in the Shulchan Aruch, which we'll see, if there's a hole on that area, I guess that we'd call it hypospadia, that they were assuming. But I have to correct something, Dr. Jarrett. We didn't get to this, and I didn't want to spill the beans yet, but I have to only because you're raising the point. One of the main sugyas that we're going to have to get into, and I really didn't want to give it away now, is that there might be a gigantic, gigantic difference between something that's natural and something that's in an injury. Natural, any of these things that we've discussed, of the various injuries at various abnormalities that we've discussed, the psul of psul daka might only be if there was from an injury, from a mechanical or an outside injury. But if it was natural,
when we see it, bidei shamayim, bidei adam.
Yes, we didn't see that yet, did we?
No,
we didn't see it yet. Right, but we're going to see. There might be a difference between bidei shamayim and bidei adam. That bidei shamayim might not be a psul, and it's only going to be a psul bidei adam. So when you talk about natural hypospadia, if I could pronounce that correctly, that might not be a problem. So many children, yes, little boys are born with a hypospadia that is can be surgically corrected by with a pediatric urologist. That will not necessarily render them a krishafra. We're worried here if there was an injury in during the person's lifetime that punctured the gid, and that's what we're dealing with.
So medically, it's fascinating because it's exactly the opposite. If you think of the little boy with hypospadia, so now an adult, there's no opening at the end of the gid.
Right.
So the only way out is to take the shortcut and only make it halfway down the path, and that is less likely to impregnate. Whereas okay. if a person has a normal exit at the end of the atara, and there's another hole in the middle, you could just put a little chewing gum in there or apply pressure. And you can imagine 90% of the zera would end up where it's supposed to be.
Okay, I hear.
So the reproductive ability is just the opposite.
I hear.
The natural hypospadias person would be lower than the acquired whole guy.
Right, I hear that. We're looking right now in this conversation just as reproductive ability, but we have to keep in mind that the Torah didn't say any word about reproductive ability. The Torah just said there's this thing called krishafcha. And the Torah said there's a thing called Pitzua Daka. The Beis Shmuel suggested that these are somebody who can't have children, but that's the Torah just said these are things that are Asulava B'kal, and we're going to learn from a Pasuk, I believe, that it might only be if it's a man-made injury as opposed to a natural disease that the person was born with. But we'll get there, hopefully, a little bit later. Let's continue with this one other point, that the Noda Behuda is going to say, what about the Eidos? We said that we can't listen to the Eidos of the doctors, because that's Eid Echad. What about the Eidos of the Chever Kadisha? Let's say there's more than one Chever Kadisha. There's two guys on the Chever Kadisha, three guys on the Chever Kadisha. They all saw that the person had this potentially problematic hole in his body. So are we going to be worried about them? So he says, I'm not worried about their claims either. You know why? Because if a guy dies, let's say he dies on his, let's say this guy died, again, his wife was pregnant with a child, on his 40th birthday, let's say. He died on his 40th birthday. And the Chever Kadisha notices something on his body. So, you know what they would assume? What we could assume? If we know that he's presumably to have fathered a child a year or two ago, and now presumably his wife is pregnant with his second child, and you see something on his body that indicates that he shouldn't be able to bear children, let's just assume that it probably just happened a week ago, or a month ago, or 3 months ago. Why should you assume that it was like this for years and the kids are mamzer? Just assume that it happened. Yes, we believe the Chever Kadisha that there is this hole where it shouldn't be. Maybe the hole was made, the puncture was made 3 months ago. Why should you assume that it happened a long time ago and the wife of the kids are mamzer? Assume that happened 3 months ago and everyone's kosher. Next part of the Shaila. Again, all these different aspects are making it a very rich shaila. What about the fact that the wife was a prutza bioser, and the fact that she was very, she was very sociable in an inappropriate way? Should that give us additional reason to assume that her kids are mamzerim? Well, the rabbosai, that's something you and I learned together about 2 months ago in Simen Dalid Siftes Vav. We learned this about 2 months ago, and we learned that even if you have a woman who has an image of being mizana, dafil isha mizana, bonea ksherim, why? Because the famous robe, what do we say? Robe bilas achra baal.
That's afil, just a chazaka, all things being equal, no? I mean, here we have, do we accumulate all this evidence when we treat each item disposed
so
of?
So you want to make a sveka lahachmir. You want to say that...
Well, this is a level playing field? Now
you're making a great point. You're saying here, I'm glad you're not a rabbi, Mr. Bergman, because if you are, people would not come to you with their shilas, because you're putting things together to try to find the chumra. Usually we get paid to do the opposite.
Okay.
You're saying, you're making a great point. You're saying, of course, normally, everything being equal, we'll assume that Rabbi Elazar Harbal. But ask Mr. Bergman, for heaven's sake, this guy, presumably what we look at now, if you look at his body now, he shouldn't be able to have father children. And we know that she's a prutz and a mizana. And you're going to say that these kids, you're going to say Rabbi Elazar Bal and their ksherim, when he should probably can't even have children? Like, what do you put? I think the answer might be, and there might be a lot more lumbus in this, and we're not going to have time for that. What's the lomus robi l'sachar bal? I think that means that this kid, who we don't know if he's a mamzer or not, was born from a given bia. Let's define that given bia. From whom was that bia? Rov tells us that the bia that bore this child, Rov tells you, you could paskin that that bia was from the husband. Once it's from the husband, so we're not going to combine this with other things, because that's what I think what the Rov does is, the Rov is telling us what Rov bila zachar bala is, that again, a child is not born from many bias. A child is born from a given bia. And since he's born from a given bia, the Rov tells you that you can identify that bia from which this child comes is his father.
That doesn't change.
And that might be, you know, a given. And once it's a given, work with all your other questions. But it's a given that the Rove tells us that the child must, that this child must be a product of the bia with the father. If there were more bias with the father than anyone else, therefore, the bia that the Rove tells us that this child is a product of his father.
Sure.
Even if she's a prutz biyosa. Okay. Therefore, comes the note of Yehuda and finishes his tshuva with this, umemela. Once we just, 1 second. So what do we have here? We have here the fact that we can't believe the doctor because he's Neidacha. We can't, but we rely on the Chevra Kadisha because they're saying something happened after, and they found something after death, but maybe it happened very recently. The fact that the wife was not so modest, we, doesn't bother us either that the kids should therefore be Mamzerim because, Robila Sachar Baal. And therefore, we're gonna conclude, says the Nodeb Yehuda with his, with Ba'otzem Gadluso and his care for Klal Yisrael, to, you know, coupled with his brilliance in Torah, we have every right to assume that these are his kids, especially since he's telling us these are his kids. And he's,
you're right.
And
he knows that he knew of his infirmity, and he still left everything to his, and he presumably knew about,
yes,
his wife.
And he knew that he had his issues, and he still raised this kid as his own, and he still gave the tzava for his children, for these children to inherit. So therefore, he certainly didn't assume that the kids were Mamzerim, and if that's the case, we should not. He identifies them as his children, so therefore they will be his children, not Mamzerim. And of course, the financial outcomes will follow from that, and they will be able to Yashin their father. And therefore, he just adds one little knach at the end. There's also a migu that the father has. Regarding Mamo, Linyan Mamo, Naman Hav, Obe Migu, Diba Yavlu B'matana. He could have given a matana to these kids before he died. He knew he was, you know, he's working on a tzava. He knew he was very sick. He's working on his tzava. So he could have given a matana mechayim. Instead of saying, when I die, I'll give, you know, my five apartment buildings to the kids. He could give them the apartment buildings right now.
That's true, but there's an issue about mamzeres, because there is a question whether somebody else could marry the child. That's a totally separate question.
You're right. But we're looking at these two shalas separately. You know, he already clarified that for Mamzeris, we're not going to be worried about Mamzeris. And also for the Yerusha, we're going to give the money to the Yerusha. This is another Yehuda.
We don't like to make Mamzerim, that's for sure. We don't like to make Mamzerim.
So yes, we don't like making Mamzerim. And therefore, he's making them both of these shalas. The kids are not Mamzerim, they're Kshem, and the kids can Yarshin their father. Great. That is this incredible tshuva. Now,
in a situation, let's say, where the man is definitely had a vasectomy, he admits it, he knows it, the Rabbanim checked it out beforehand, and the wife is not a prutza biyosa, but she's an occasional prutza. So you could say, out of 100 times in a year that she had bia, 95 were with the Baal, and 5 were with the, you know, Shmerel, this other guy, this man of ill repute.
Right.
I guarantee you, on those 95 that she had bia, she did not get pregnant. Now, how do we view the kid?
Well, if we know that he's a krishap, that we know that he can't be molid, then I guess the Robil Zachar Baal doesn't help us, because...
But it's still bia.
No,
it's
but listen.
Yeah.
Rov bilas achra baal, but the rov bilas that have the potential to impregnate are zero from the baal. So therefore, when you identify, you have to call the rov a rov. You have to figure out what your rov is. What are you looking at? Are you looking at rov bias? In the case that you described, not the case of another bia, but in the case that you described, you're describing a bia that could impregnate, and we know that any bia from the husband can't impregnate because he doesn't have the ability to impregnate. So the rov that we should look at is not rov bias, but rov bias that potentially could impregnate. And that would be rov bias by Shmerel.
Right.
Or was it
Right, so it's not theos. It's rove effective theos.
In the case that you described, because you told me of a case where the husband can't, definitely can't, and we know that he can't have any children. So you have no choice but to look at rove bias that are effective bias.
Right, but again, so you could imagine a case where the woman is a prutza b'yoser, and she has 5 with the baal and 95 with other people.
But tell me about the baal. Is the baal somebody who is possible that he could have children or can't?
Completely able to be molded. But on those 95, she says, Avis, that she used, well, let's say in a nice word, protection.
I don't know if we believe her. I don't know if we believe her. I don't know if we believe her. The father is...
There are a way to ascertain.
I don't know if we believe her. And the protections aren't always protective. And if her husband is Naaman, the Torah grants a Naaman is the rights of her father to identify whom his children are. And if he claims this is his child, then it's his child. Okay. So what I want to do now is to raise... Okay, we're going to raise another issue, which is the issue that I raised before. And we'll have to get to the Shulchan Aruch a little. We won't get to the Shulchan Aruch today, but at least in a very important Gemara that raises the question about many of the... You raised the question of a hypospadia, which is a natural situation. What is the status of Kroshavcha and Ptuadaka in terms of injuries or natural events that caused this issue that a person might have? So let's look at the Gemara Nivamis. Gemara Nivamis Ayin Hamud Beis says the following. And this is going to be a very important psak, for a very important Gemara for us to deal with the psakim, the shilas that might come up. Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Petzua Daka Bidei Shamayim, if a person has whatever injury naturally, kosher, that's not a Petzua Daka that the Torah asks to love of the call, such a person will be kosher. The Masnisa Tana is Torah Nebraisa. What's the source for this leniency, this kula? Ne'emar, the pasuk says, regarding a Ptuadaka, lo yavo Ptuadaka. Ne'emar, the next pasuk, or the end of that pasuk says, lo yavo mamzer. And there's a hekish between a mamzer and a Ptuadaka. Ma'al halam bidei adam, just like a mamzer is created because of the choices and activities that the mother engaged in, afkan bidei adam. So too, the Ptuadaka that the Torah prohibits, love of a call, is a function of the activities that a person engages in. And therefore you see, says the Gemara, says Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, that only a Ptuadaka who is injured by some, again, mechanical injury, automotive injury, knife injury, a stabbing, whatever it would be, that kind of thing is going to render a person a Ptuadaka. But anything that happens naturally, that's a disease. So let's say, for example, God forbid, I don't know what this would be called, let's say gangrene, God forbid, would set in a person's testicle. And it would wither away, literally wither away, God forbid. So would we say that that person's a Ptuadaka? Well, since it's natural, it's not going to render the person a Ptuadaka. Look at Rashi. Rashi is very interesting, and I don't understand Rashi. Rashi wants to give examples. What's an example of something that's Bidei Shamayim? Al yedei re'amim u'barod omi me'e imo. Right? A guy walks out, running around without clothes on, in a gigantic hailstorm. And a big ball of hail hits him right where it hurts.
He's implying some kind of a guilt?
What?
Is he implying some kind of a guilt on the part of the...
Don't get into guilt. No one's guilty.
About carelessness or something.
No. We're not talking about carelessness. We're not judging anybody. We're just identifying how it happened. Says Rashi, that's called Bidei Shamayim. Mimei Imo, I understand. He was born like this, like hypospadia, for example. Hypospadia, with which a child is born, will never be a Krishavcha or Ptuadaka. No problem. He could come to the call, whether he could have children or not have children. I don't care. He's not a Ptuadaka. He's not a Mary. But what I don't understand is, and this is what I wrote in English, how in the world, why, if he gets hit by hail, yes, hail, just shoots down from the heavens, and again, hits him where it counts, where it hurts, and or he gets hit by lightning right over there, you know, some crazy situation, and is struck by lightning, and who knows what. I mean, physically, it's the exact same thing. What's the difference between getting hit by hail or getting hit in a car accident in the same location on his body, causing the same injury? Since one comes from the heaven, the Torah asks such a person, and one comes because of a careless driver, the Torah doesn't answer it. I understand. I'm just saying, I would, if I was Rashi, I wouldn't have said this. I would have understood the Gemara that, like, if something is bidei shamayim, that means it's a disease. Bidei shamayim is a disease. Bidei shamayim is what you're born with. And bidei adam would be a mechanical accident, an accident with a saw or a knife, or hail. A hailstone would also, in my mind, be, you know, something more mechanical as opposed to natural. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that even if it's mechanical in the sense of a piece of hail shooting and banging from outside, you know, from falling from the heavens, that's called bidei shamayim. That's fascinating that Rashi adds that. I would never have thought that.
Does he mean to exclude stuff like an earthquake or an avalanche or building collapse?
It sounds from Rashi that an earthquake, again, an avalanche is the roof comes crashing down and injures him. Well, I don't know what that will be. Here we're talking about that ball of hail flies straight down from the heavens and hits him. So I don't know how to look at an avalanche or an earthquake where, because of the avalanche or earthquake, a roof beam fell on him. I don't know if that would be Bidei Shemayim or Bidei Adam. I don't know. We'd have to research more. What is exactly the parameter of Bidei Adam or Bidei Shemayim? Don't know. The example that Rashi gives, which even that I find difficult, but Rashi says it, so I'm a Kabbalah, is a hailstone straight from the Shemayim. I mean, even though it's a mechanical injury, it's not a natural disease. It's not he's born that way.
We don't know what Rashi is saying. We don't know what it's saying. What his parameters are.
I see. He's saying anything that's natural. I mean, a little bit we see.
It's not inborn. It's not genetic.
Genetic would be Mimeimo. That would be Bidei Shemayim.
Right.
Car accidents would be human involvement.
Car accident would be human involvement. Car accident is definitely human involvement. The question, you asked something in the middle. You asked an avalanche, which is a natural phenomenon, but it causes a building to collapse. Again, maybe if an avalanche caused a rock to fall off a cliff and hit him, then maybe you're right. Maybe that would be called Bidei Shamayim. It's an interesting balance. Okay. On the same sugya comes a Gemara in Yevamis, right? Actually, the Gemara previous, the Gemara in Amud before. Ayin Heim Ralef. Amr of Yishmael, Ben Osher, Yochum, Ben Broka. Shema'ati mi picha chomim beker b'yavne. Now we're going to introduce another point which somebody raised a little while ago. What happens if it's only in one testicle that had the injury? Look at this. Kol she'elo ele beitza achas. If somebody only has one testicle. Now I know, when children are young, when boys are young, doctors sometimes check the children's genitalia to confirm that their testicles have descended. So I don't know if the Gemara is aware of the fact that there might be sometimes undescended testicles, or the Gemara is talking about a case where the taka is only one. I don't know. But look at what the Gemara says. Kol she'elo ele beya achas. If a person, a boy has only one beya, eino ele kisris chama. It's considered as though he is a Sris Chama. He is infertile because of nature. The sun, meaning nature. And therefore he's kosher. Wow. Somebody born with one testicle, that's considered natural, because, I mean, that is obviously natural, and therefore he's kosher.
You're saying you're not
molid. Right? Let's look, Zok, he's definitely not molid, but it's a natural reason for which he's not molid. Zok Rashi, Sris Chama, Swiss Chama, Bidei Shamayim Machmas Choli. V'hai Lav Choli Hu? What? Swiss Chama, Bidei Shamayim Machmas Choli. V'hai?
Buying Choli is something that happens once this person is born, it seems.
Uh-huh. Swiss Chama. I might have cut and pasted something. Fine. Uh-huh. So So apparently somebody who's born, I'm not sure I understand Rashi, but somebody who's born with this, again, with one beitza, will be considered kosher. Based on that, we're now going to come. Remember, that's not talking about Ptua Daka. That's talking about somebody who was born with one testicle. The Torah never answered somebody like that, because it's not Ptua, it's not Dach, it's not Koros. It's not one of the three things that injuries that could happen to a person, and he'll be kosher. Comes the tour, and the tour cites a Rabbeinu Tam. And this Rabbeinu Tam is what I'm going to introduce today, and we're going to have to see in the Shulchan Aruch maybe in the next week or two. And this is going to be a very important kula. I'm not telling you possibly like Rabbeinu Tam, and that's going to be part of our question. But the question that we raise to introduce the entire sugya of, God forbid, if a person has testicular cancer and has to have one of his testicles removed, the word one might be very significant because of the following Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam machshir im nitla beitza achas afilu bidei adam. You remember we learned that the psul is only if it's bidei adam. If it's natural, then it's not aser. Even if it is human intervention that removed something. There was a surgery that took out a testicle. Should be a problem, right? Says Rabbeinu Tam, if it's only one, it's going to be, he'll still be kosher. Concludes Rabbeinu Tam. If it was intact and, you know, completely intact beforehand, and you removed it, if you only took out one, the person is still kosher. And also, the one that you removed has to be the left one, such that the one that remains is the right one. We have to do a study and do some research if there's any difference in fertility between the people who have only a right testicle or only a left testicle, or people who had one removed and not the other, and if there's any difference between right and left, I wonder, and we'll have to, we'll give that job to our doctors here to look up the medical research. I would assume not, but I'm going to leave it to the researchers to tell us next week if there's any difference between the right and the left. Says Rabbeinu Tam, if one was removed and it's the left one, and the right one remains, even if it was removed by the other surgically, the person is still kosher, is not considered a Kris Shafcha.
The right one tends to be bigger according to Dr. Google.
Okay, so that's the beginning. That fits.
The Kris Shafcha comes from the right.
That could be. That would make sense, because Rabbeinu Tam is saying the right one is the one that has to remain. To remain kosher.
Are we assuming that it's Marla? In the case of Rabbeinu Tam,
I'm assuming right. That he could be. Somebody could be mauled with one testicle.
I
assume, yeah. I'm not a doctor, but again, you'll research. Because again, yeah, I realize that Rabbi Shmuel told us that anyone who is one of these psulim is not mauled, and here we have a case where maybe he's a psuladak, and yet he could be mauled. So I hear your question. But let's finish off. Aval im niftsav acharkach nitla, let's say you have a person got an injury to one of his testicles. And then after the injury, they said, oh, it's an injury, let's remove it. You're already puzzled from the injury. So we're not going to say that since the right one is remaining, you're good. No, if the left one was injured and because of that it had to be removed, then there's a ptua daka. But if it was intact but removed, as long as the right one remains, says Rabbeinu Tam, you're still kosher. That's a big kula of Rabbeinu Tam. Unfortunately, that kula is not shared by all. Ein das Rav Alfis came. The Rif does not agree to that kula and does not allow this person Lama Bakal if he still has his right testicle remaining. The Rif says no. If any testicle is removed, that's what the Torah says. That's a Kris Shavcha. You're out. You're an Afsal Lama Bakal. So Be'ezus Hashem, next week we're going to deal with the Shaila of a case that again came to the Chassam's Anod B'Yehuda actually, about somebody who got injured in that area of his body, and we have to figure out if he's Mutalava Bakal, and this again will bring us much closer to figure out our Shaila that we're trying to figure out is again somebody who has a testicle removed because of cancer, and they only remove one of them. If they remove two, so then we don't have the school of Rabbeinu Tam. But if they removed one, and they removed the left one, and the right one is still intact, then we might still according to Rabbeinu Tam, be able to be matched in Lava Bakal, even though the Rif will not allow it. Then the question is going to be, are we going to be able to be Mekel like the Rif? I'm sorry, like the Rabbeinu Tam, if it's an Issa Doraisa and it's a Machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam and Rif, are we going to allow this person to Lava Bakal? What's that, Mr. Lomowski?
No, no, I'm waiting for somebody else.
Okay.
But I want to ask you a question. The person he is married, he has a divorce in such a case?
Excellent question. If he's also love a bekahal, and then it happens to him after marriage.
Right. Every bia is the
isser. Is an isser in the bia or an isser in the... So I had a shayla. I can't tell you what the shayla is, but I had a shayla in the past few months of a mamzeris shayla. And I spoke to Rav Schefter about it, and Rav Schefter said that if the person's a mamzer, it's better that they don't get married. Let them live together. If they're going to be living together, let them live together without a chasna. Because wow. Mamzerus, either according to everybody or according to some, is usher, the isser of lava bakal is to marry. I don't know. I'm just conjecture. The same isser lava bakal of mamzerus, that's the same isser we're dealing with in this year. A ptudak is also an isser lava bakal. It could be if you're not married, this it doesn't apply. So is it the isser to be married or the isser to get married? I don't know. We'll have to research that shayla. That's a very good shayla. Okay, Rabosai, Yeshikov, thank you. Thank you all for coming. It's good to see you all. Dr. Marin.